Well, today we're back again, answering more of the questions that were asked of me. Don't you love it? Oh, by the time I get through answering all 42 questions, I'm going to tell you something. You'll know more about my theology. You'll know more about Catherine Kuhlman than you've ever known in your life before. And it's just like that. Where I want to continue a little further with the answering of the 16th question. I'll repeat it. What do you mean by coming under the power? What is the biblical criterion for such an experience? I've already answered that question, but I want to give you something that is very sacred to me. The late Dr. Paul Freiling was the pastor of the First Covenant Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A very marvelous church. A lovely congregation. An influential church. When we were in Minneapolis, in the large arena there, the late Dr. Freiling was on the front row where several other preachers were seated. And when the power of God was falling and people were being slain by the power of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Freiling received a very beautiful spiritual experience when the power of the Holy Ghost came upon him and he was slain by the power. A very conservative man. The pastor of this conservative church, First Covenant Church of Minneapolis. After I returned to Pittsburgh, I received a letter from Dr. Freiling, and I want to just quote one paragraph from his letter. People from my congregation and fellow pastors have asked me about the experience of coming under the power of the Holy Spirit as you touched me. To which I can say that it was a very simple and beautiful experience. It was, in fact, the most normal, unsensational spiritual feeling. Far from being, as some might imagine, extremely different from every other proper spiritual manifestation, it seemed rather to bring together and harmonize in that moment all the beauties and charms which the Holy Spirit had previously given. To be under the Spirit's anointing is the truly normal state. All else is abnormal. I've just quoted from a letter that was written by the late Dr. Freiling, who was then the pastor of the First Covenant Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We come now to the 19th question. Do you find any hindrance to your work because you are a woman? Oh, I laughed right out loud when I read that question. And really, I don't know, because I don't know what it would have been like had I been a man. You know, it is kind of like that. I really don't know. And you see, when unpleasant things happen, I just act like it never happened. If you really want to know the truth about it. Oh, sure, I may have two strikes against me, being a woman preaching the gospel. But if I do have the two strikes against me, being a woman, I just put my head up, I lift my chin a little higher, and I just act like I don't hear the insults and you know, he just kind of like that. Sure. I'll tell you something very confidentially. And it's the true conviction of my heart. I really am bearing my soul when I tell you this truth. I do not believe that I was God's first choice in this ministry, in a ministry that he has chosen for these last days. It's my firm conviction. You'll never argue me out of this conviction. Never. I do not believe I was God's first choice. I'm not quite sure whether I was God's second choice or even his third choice. Because I really believe that the job that I'm doing is really a man's job. I work hard. Few people know how hard I really work. 16, 17 hours a day. It would be enough to give a heart attack to the strongest man. I can outwork 5 men put together, and I'll challenge you on this. I'm sincere when I tell you this. It's only those who know me best know what little sleep I get and the many hours that I put into the ministry. I'm on that stage or on the platform or behind the pulpit, 3.5, 4, 4.5 hours, never sitting down. They would probably carry most men off of the platform, or they would leave absolutely exhausted. That is why I say to you, I know the power of the Holy Spirit is real. His sustaining power. You can't give without receiving. And after all of those hours, I can still leave the stage as refreshed as when I walked on. I have given myself completely to the Holy Spirit. I have given the body as an empty vessel to be used by the Holy Spirit. And as I give to him, and he continues to give out to others, I too receive. Try it. It works. And it's real. Why do I say that I was not God's first choice? Or perhaps not even his second or third? I do believe that God's first choice was a man. Perhaps his second was a man, but someplace men failed. I was just stupid enough to say, take nothing and use it. And he has been doing just that. The 20th question, why are there not more women preachers? You'll just have to ask God that. I don't know. I really don't know. But I wouldn't wish this job on any woman, I'll tell you that. If you think it's easy, try it. Unless you're absolutely dedicated. Unless you're absolutely sold out to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. You'll never stay with it 25 years. Does that answer that question? And it's just like that. The 21st question. What do you think of women's lib? You ask me that question? What do I think of women's lib? They call me when I was in Los Angeles and ask me if I would be on a television program for women's lib. And I laughed. And you know what I said? You won't want to hear what I have to say. You want to know something? I'd give anything if I could just be a good housewife, a good cook. Oh, I'd like to be a good cook. I'd like to have about 12 children. Sometimes I feel like the mother of the world now, you know. I've got so many spiritual children, I don't know what to do. I worry about them. I mother them. I love them. I care for them. It would be so nice, you know, to have a man bring in the paycheck. I would just love to have a man boss me. It may not last long, but for a little while, it would just be great. No, when it comes to women's lib, I'm still as old-fashioned as the Word of God. I still think that the husband should be the head of the family. I know how it was at our house. Papa was always the head of the family. And if Papa said it, it was just as though God had said it. We never had any woman's lib at our house. But I tell you something, we had a mighty happy family. Papa did the work. And Mama ran Papa without Papa knowing it. And it was a beautiful situation. Well, the 22nd question, what kind of education do you advocate for young people today? Now, I know exactly what you mean by asking the question. It's a sensible question. But perhaps I'm not going to answer it just the way you've asked it or the way you want it to be answered. What kind of an education do you advocate for young people today? First of all, a young person's education begins in the home and at an early age. I have something here that I want to give because I think it's wonderful. How to Ruin Your Children. The Houston, Texas Police Department is distributing these 12 rules for raising delinquent children. And they guarantee 99% infallible. Now, this is how not to educate your children. First, begin with infancy to give the child everything that he wants. In this way, he'll grow up to believe that the world owes him a living. Second, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This will make him think he's cute. It will also encourage him to pick up cuter phrases that will blow off the top of your head later. Third, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and then let him decide for himself. The fourth rule, avoid the use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later, when he's arrested for stealing a car, that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Five, pick up everything that he leaves lying around. Books, shoes, clothes. Do everything for him so that he'll be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Six, let him read any printed matter that he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are sterilized but let his mind feast on garbage. 7. Quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they will not be too shocked when the home is broken up later. 8. Give a child all the spending money that he wants. Never let him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you had them? 9. Satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. Denial may lead to harmful frustration. 10. Take his part against the neighbors, teachers, policemen. They're all prejudiced against your child. 11. When he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him. 12. Prepare for a life of grief. You'll be likely to have it. Follow these 12 rules, and you have something that is guaranteed to be 99% infallible as to how to ruin your children. Bring up a child in the way that God has intended that he should be brought up, according to the Word of God, according to God's laws. I promise you, he will not depart from these things. It's too late when it comes time to send them to high school. You've waited too long if you're waiting until the time that he's ready to go to college or university or even to seminary. You didn't expect that answer, did you? 23. What do you think of the current physical fitness kick? Health spas, natural foods, dieting, and so forth. Well, now, let me think about this one. I see people every day that I think should diet. You know, it's kind of like that. Don't wait too long. And I feel that there are many of these things that you write to me and ask me to pray about when you can answer your own prayer. If you're too fat, do something about it. I believe in doing everything you can to keep in good health. You cannot deliberately go out and do everything that's contrary to good health and then look up and ask God to heal your body. He's given me a brain. He has given certain laws. And if we live contrary to these laws, we can expect ill health. There are literally thousands and thousands of people who are destroying themselves today. In many cases, men and women are their own worst enemies. If I sit down and eat the things that I know are not good for me, then it just serves me right to have indigestion. And I have no right to come before God and ask him to heal my indigestion. I shouldn't have eaten this stuff in the first place. Sometimes I think, you know, we just lack good old-fashioned common sense. And this generation just needs, more than anything else, fathers, mothers, young people, young couples, teenagers all just need a good old-fashioned baptism of good common sense. When you live contrary to the laws of God, then expect to pay the price. And you will.